Hey guys.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Hey, yeah.
It's been a long time.
It's us.
And it's 2024.
Holy hell.
Anyways, it's Nikki.
And Tyler.
And this is Page Turners.
And Button Mashers.
So it's been a whole fucking year.
What up? Yeah, it has.
Oh,
it's been
God.
More than a year.
Has it?
Yeah.
Oh,
we
Jesus.
Recorded our last episode that we didn't release in October of
2022.
Yeah.
Oh no.
We didn't do anything.
Nope, and we didn't release that one because it was a rough book and it was a rough ending.
No, it was good. We just didn't edit it.
That's true.
Yep.
That was my job.
But a little bit of an update. As you guys know, we had the Button Mashers Realm.
Yep.
I decided to fully just pull that off of the podcast. The format wasn't working. People were being... technology was being technology.
Yeah, and add to that, Zencastr decided to be an absolute dickwad and make us pay for it just to record with other people. So it was rough all around. We've had a lot of really bad... situations.
Yeah.
Just really bad situations.
Exactly. But if you guys want to hear updates about what they're doing, let us know and I'll be sure to sneak that into an episode.
We'll either sneak it into an episode or sneak it to a TikTok.
That's
whatever
true.
Works.
Yeah.
That all being said, I'm sure you heard a thunk earlier. we got a dog.
Yes.
He is adorable as fuck and sleeping at our feet right now because he's a tired boy who sleeps throughout most of the day.
Yeah.
He's only 9 months old and his name is Hades. Of course it is.
Yeah.
And he's just the sweetest little baby.
He is fully asleep, but he tends to hit his head on a lot of things. So if you hear a thunk, he either hit it on the leg of the table or the table.
Yes. So. Another thing you'll probably hear at the beginning of our new episodes is a disclaimer. Probably just saying that we swear a lot. You already know that. We are not E for everyone.
Oh,
we're
shit.
M for mature. Ah, shit. Fuck. Ah. Oops. Sorry, Bob. All that being said is, yeah, we've got a new disclaimer. We might have a new opener here soon. You never know.
And I'm just letting you guys know I'm doing a new format for a lot of things. That thunk was me.
Yep.
But doing a lot of new stuff. New year, new podcast.
And
same podcast.
Same podcast, new formats.
Yeah.
Add to that, I am also cutting my book short, so you're not going to hear an entire book an episode now. It'll be more like a book a month kind of thing. To the best of my ability, some books get to be broken up into three because they're just way too fucking big.
Yeah.
So, smaller episodes, if that's all right by you guys. It's just for brevity, and sometimes we've had a discussion where Tyler felt like I kind of bulldozed over his part because my book is so big, and then his game is so small.
Yeah.
And we wanted to make it a little bit more even.
Yeah. And to go along with that, I'm also cutting out... game news, because by the time we release an episode, it's so outdated for news that people are like, I knew this fucking 4 weeks ago.
Exactly.
Why are you telling me?
Yeah.
So I will replace that with games I'm playing that I don't plan on reporting on, or things I've done in games that I've already reported on that I'd like to update on.
So, yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
That all being said, are you ready to listen to what book?
Are you ready for the new style of opener?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, so instead of doing my just cold open, you know, just saying the most random thing, I have a random word, and I want you to guess what the word is or means.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
All right, so this is a thing. What is a scandaroon?
I don't... That's a lot of dead air, because the face I made. I don't... A scandalous macaroon?
No. It is a homing pigeon, a type of homing pigeon.
Holy shit, it is.
Yeah.
What a fucking weird bird.
Yeah.
All right, well, there you go.
And I also found out today that...
That's going to be on Instagram, too.
Yeah. I found out that it's also a scandaroon. If you type just that in, it takes you to a place in Turkey. So I was like,
I want the pigeon.
What?
I want the pigeon.
I want the pigeon.
Yeah. So, fun stuff. Yeah.
All right. So, are you ready to listen to the book now?
No.
Damn. I've been holding on to this one for a really long time, actually.
Well, then go ahead, I guess.
Damn. It's almost as if I'm trying to do my part.
I'm doing my part.
So, fair warning, guys. If you hear me sniffle a little and my voice gets kind of rough, I have a head cold coming in.
And I'm just getting over mine, so if I sound a little gruff...
He gave it to me.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of being married sometimes. So, the book that I chose was Dumplin' by Julie Murphy. This book is actually also a movie, and I really loved the movie. It was really cute. Oh. Ginger Minj from RuPaul's Drag Race was in it.
Oh.
Yeah, it was really fucking cute.
Have you reported on this author before?
I have not.
Okay. I was just curious
no,
to see that.
No, I didn't. So, this is totally new author. Trust me, I now have a log. Sorry to sidetrack before I even start.
Side note. Bring that back.
I have a full log of what books I have done, and if you guys have any recommendations, I'm going to have to put it on my pod log. Of what I have read and what is recommended to me, because it's a lot. It's a lot already.
Yeah.
All right. So, this book opens up with probably the best quote from Dolly Parton. Find out who you are and do it on purpose.
Okay.
Our narrator tells us that all the best things that happened in her life started with Dolly Parton. Her best friend and her bonded over the song Dumb Blondes. Thankfully, their love of one another runs deeper than that one song. Present day. She's waiting for Elle, her best friend, in front of Elle's boyfriend's Jeep. A little thing about Elle, she's tall, blonde, and beautiful with minimal effort.
Who drives Jeeps, though? Ugh.
This is the one who just got rid of one for a Toyota.
That's the joke.
Yeah, we got a new car, too. Anyway. Yeah. Tim, her boyfriend, is as clueless as ever, but he cares about her. Matter of fact, he nearly gets flattened by a lifted pickup truck because he was paying more attention to his phone. Elle asks if Will, our girl, is working that night. She says yes, and Elle wishes Will would get a summer job at the mall, but Will likes working at Arby's. I literally said in quotes here, immediately heard how you said it, Ty.
Shout out to Borderlands 3. My goodness.
Arby's. Will is daydreaming about how she wishes she could have a relationship with like Elle and Tim's, while she spots a group of girls in bright pink shorts on the football field. She asks what they're doing, and apparently it's pageant boot camp. It lasts all summer, and Elle knows someone from work who's doing it.
Mm.
Will doesn't even hide the fact that she could care less. Thing is, Clover City is only known for a couple of things. Once in a while, their football team is good enough for playoffs, or someone gets out for being good at something, or, in this case, the biggest beauty pageant in Texas. The Miss Teen Blue Bonnet Pageant.
Jesus.
Which, since it started in the 30s, has gotten so incredibly crazy every year since. She would know.
Every pageant, I feel, gets just fucking crazy.
I mean, there was an entire fucking show called Toddlers and Tiaras for a reason.
Yeah, stupid.
They are nuts.
Yeah.
Also, not to lie, it's so much fun watching, like, the Miss Universe pageants, because they have to be pretty and intelligent. But, you know, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I just like watching it because it's sparkly, alright?
That's, yeah, no judgment.
All the judgment. No.
Judging.
Anyway, so Will would know because her mom has been on the planning committee for the last 15 years. Anyways, Elle and Tim leave, and Will watches as another girl leaves the school. Millie Mitchelchuk is someone that Will, unfortunately, compares herself to in the way that she feels better about herself in doing so. Mainly because while Will is fat, she's not as big as Millie. Who can't find clothes that zip up and button big enough for her and wears kitten and puppy shirts unironically. Her eyes are too close together and her nose is pinched.
Jesus.
Yeah, Will compares herself pretty badly to her. But Will decided in this moment to save her from her torture, from the torture of the douchebag that is known as Patrick Thomas.
Fuck Patrick Thomas, man.
Who has a habit of making nicknames stick. No matter how clever or not they are. She distracts Millie long enough for Patrick to leave her car alone. Once the coast was clear, she excused herself to head to work. Will makes it just in time for a creepy man to put in an order and call her Sweet Cheeks. Yuck. sorry for anyone who hates gagging sounds, but she punched the doorbell to the employee entrance multiple times when Bo, a dreamy-looking Catholic schoolboy, opens the door for her.
What a description.
That's the description I got. And like any girl with a crush, she started out with a normal greeting of, "So school's out for you already?" And then ended with oversharing how she liked, how she said, he said classes instead of school, because of how it made him sound like he's in college and jumping from couch to couch.
Oh.
Then she went to put her stuff up.
That's, you know what, that's the point right there.
I know, right? So work is slow when some of Bo's classmates show up. There's some odd tension here, especially between some girl named Amber and Willow Dean, which is her name. Will is her nickname.
Willow Dean?
Willow Dean.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
The way they say it in the movie as well is Willa Dane.
That makes way more sense, surprisingly.
I know, right? But when the interaction is over, she shrugs it off. Once she is home, she greets her mom at the kitchen table. Some things about her mom, right? She once was Miss Teen Bluebonnet and prides herself on dieting around the start of pageant season, which means everyone is dieting around her as well.
Uh-huh.
Once a year, she becomes Cinderella, and year-round, she's a CNA in a nursing home. She is super judgmental and actually took the creepy guy hitting on Willow Dean as a good thing. But she also hasn't broken the habit of watching her TV in the kitchen on a portable TV because Will's aunt, Lucy, had only died 6 months before, and she used to take over the living room. Anyways, they said goodnight to one another, and Will waited a moment before throwing out her salad and getting some pretzels and a soda. She then passed by Lucy's room and put her hand on the doorknob to only walk away to go to bed. She and her Aunt Lucy were really close. I'm sure you'll figure that out.
Fair enough.
I'm also noticing that these notes are kind of all over the fucking place. I think I audiobooked this one. And it's been months since I haven't been able to, like, clear it up. What's up?
Do you hear the feedback from this going into the...
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll cut that out.
Okay.
Anyways, so she went to bed. Next day at school, Elle and Will are together at lunch. And there are some teen things that happen here.
Teen things?
Yeah. Elle debating if she and Tim are going to have sex, but Will isn't entertaining the idea because she has had this talk with her more than once. And Elle never follows through, which is fine by her.
Yeah.
Anyways, the finals are over, 10th grade is over, and summer has begun.
Woo!
Will came home to find her mom had taken a half day due to Lucy's urn coming in. So she decided to go through her stuff and start getting rid of things.
Okay.
Will asked if she wanted to keep... Wow, what is wrong with my notes? Will asked what she is doing and if she wanted to keep some of it, but her mom insisted she wouldn't want to keep her moo-moos.
Oh, moo-moos.
Mew-mews.
Mew-mews.
She wouldn't want to keep her moo-moos, and all she had in the drawers were underthings and newspaper clippings.
Underthings.
Yeah. Yeah, underthings. So, thing is, her aunt Lucy. It's interchangeable with me at this point.
Yeah, it depends on where you're from.
Yep. Her Aunt Lucy died at 36 years old.
Oh.
At 459 pounds from a heart attack.
Oof.
All alone on the couch watching her shop.
Mm.
The saddest thing about it is that though nobody was there when she died, nobody was exactly there when she lived either.
Mm.
And Will's mom only ever remembered how she died. Will watched as her mom's mind worked. Keep toss, maybe. She was feeling the room to open the room.
Mm-hmm.
So she told her to stop. This was her room. And so her mom said, Dumplin', with packing season upon us, I need space to sew the dresses and take care of those types of things. Will was curious and was like, a craft room? That's what you want to turn her room into? But she didn't stay around long enough for a response. Will went to work and had gone through the whole day thinking if she was going to be sticking around this town or not. By the time she got back home, her mom had already been asleep, so she spent some time in Lucy's room. She didn't like to think about her funeral. Instead, she thought about the first time Lucy took her to dance class, how she felt incredibly insecure. But Lucy told her that she had spent too much time worrying about what others think of her, and how she had honestly lost out on too many opportunities due to worrying about those things so much. But she had done enough worrying for the both of them, so Will can go in there and do what she wants without worrying. If it's not for her, then she will never have to go back, but she owes herself the chance.
That's fair.
Will then found some Dolly Parton tapes in her Aunt Lucy's drawer. In her Lucy's drawer. She put one in the radio and listened to it quietly, remembering her love of her aunt, Dolly, and her best friend, Elle. The next day, Elle demands they go to the pool together.
Mm-hmm.
They do, and Will spends some time floating and enjoying the pool water, until she was interrupted by a guy who she thought was dead and told her she's burned.
Oh. Jesus.
He thought she was floating in the water just dead.
Mm.
So Will sits up and she looks over to the long lawn chair that Elle was taking up. She didn't know how long she had been floating, but she did know one thing. She didn't know the girl and guy taking up the chair next to Elle and talking to her.
Mm.
She also didn't like new people. Will went over and was introduced to Callie, who was the co-worker Elle mentioned that was competing in the pageant.
Okay.
Callie wasn't super nice. She was, like, fake nice.
Mm-hmm.
When Elle told Callie that Will's mom was one of the judges, she was like, your mom? And Will was like, yep. Things happen. Callie was like, well, it's not like you'd ever compete, right? Kind of like, it was for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
And Will was like, well, why wouldn't I? Anyways, Will noticed that Callie was sitting in her dress and she got mad, grabbed the first towel she could grab and wrapped it around herself, using the excuse that she was going to go back to Elle's house to use the bathroom. It took Elle a bit to catch up with all their stuff. She didn't have the heart to tell Elle the truth of what upset her.
Mm-hmm.
But she was kind of rude about it until Elle asked her to step. She wanted assistance in picking out lingerie for her first time with Tim. They decided, and she felt a little bit better.
Okay.
I'm like, again, guys, this these notes are like months ago, and normal things that I would now cut out are still in here.
Okay.
You're welcome. I'm just going by what I wrote months ago.
No worries. It's our first one back.
Heck yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry.
Woke up the dog. Way to go.
Anyway, she was emotionally exhausted for her shift, and she was still all sorts out of it when her coworker Martin asked if Will could help him with the bet on who would win the pageant.
Mm-hmm.
However, she didn't speak, and Martin made fun of her being like Bo, who was strong and silent.
Yes.
Bo then spoke up for her and told Martin to back off. The day presumed as normal after that, and Will saw Becky, a high chance winner for the pageant, come in with her friend group. They kind of hit on Bo when he was out on the floor, and Will tried not to mind it. I'm sorry, I'm distracted by our dying dog of a dog. Will tried not to mind that Becky was hitting on Bo, even though seeing her flirt with Bo made it feel like she had swallowed rocks.
Oh.
And Will was into duh. After the exchange and Bo and Martin's break, Will went on hers. In her locker, she found a red lollipop, similar to what Bo eats on the daily.
Okay.
She got really happy, put it in her pocket, wishing she could text Elle in that moment. She put her phone back in her bra. Don't do that. Please. And ended up...
Don't.
All I'm thinking is, like, how sweaty things can get, especially when you work at, like, a diner.
Yeah.
And I don't like the thought of, like, pulling out a wet Yes! Oh.
Hold on, honey. I gotta check my phone. Dripping.
Oh, God, no. No, thank you. Anyway, she put her phone back in her bra. Don't do that. And ended up texting... getting a text right before getting back on the floor. Elle saying that she was nervous and excited. She'll talk to her after. Will was encouraging, and they moved on. The day ended with Will and Beau being the last to clean up and close. They left the restaurant together, and their hands brushed. Oh. But they got to their separate cars. And Will said, "Thanks for the sucker." Beau didn't turn back and said, "Good night, Willardine." So Elle comes over that night, and they talk about how she doesn't feel much different, but she still feels like herself, who made a decision she can't change. They slept over.
Oh.
The next few weeks go by, and despite pageant things taking over all parts of her home, it's good. Until Ron, the owner, shows Will the new cups they got in support of the pageant. They're actually a sponsor now.
Oh.
Great. Mm. Anyways, this day ends, and everyone leaves except Beau, who happens to mention that there's a meteor shower happening that night. Will didn't know what came over her, but she closed her car door and said she had never seen a meteor shower before. He invited her over to the bed of his truck to wait until it started. Mm-hmm. Once they got settled, they got talking. Well, Will does.
Oh. Fair.
As she asks him questions, he doesn't answer in any way besides a single word or a head shake. She apologizes, thinking that she's crying, but he corrects her. He says he doesn't mind talking to her, so don't apologize. It's just that he doesn't do much talking, so it takes getting used to.
Fair enough.
Strong and silent type. Yeah. Like, totally get it. So, she explains that she, on the other hand, talks like the world will only continue to spin if it can revolve around her.
Okay.
Which he said he likes. It's kind of like Stockholm Syndrome. At first it was, like, a little terrifying, but now it's comforting.
Stockholm Syndrome. Jesus.
Like, the world could be ending, but he could come to work and she would be talking like it's her duty.
Yeah.
So the meteor shower begins shortly after their chat, and they sit back and watch. He says the first one he'd ever seen he didn't want to end. But she said that she would have just spoiled him.
Okay.
Good things should be in moderation.
Yes.
When she gets a moment to take it in, she asks if they feel like they're the only ones in the world seeing it. But he says he doesn't know. His mom died 5 years before, and he sort of hopes wherever she is that her sky gets these meteor showers too. She wants to share her pain as well, but instead says, "I guess it's an awfully big sky not to share." It gets kind of cutesy.
Yeah.
So, everything ends, and the next morning comes.
Mm.
The next morning, her mom asked about why she was so late, and she lied about the restaurant being messier than usual. She didn't even want to share with Elle yet. Later that night, it was Saturday, by the way, they were slammed. Of course, things were going all right until Callie walked in. Will takes her order, and when she's done, she asks if she and Elle Bell could come over to talk with her mom. Mm. Will says she's usually busy to brush her off, and then Callie drops the fact that Elle had been talking to her about gory details of her life, but not telling Will.
Okay.
Elle is Will's best friend since childhood. Mm-hmm. She's learning things from Callie that she's never been told.
Mm.
That's kind of weird.
That is weird. Suspicious. Highly suspect.
Suspicious!
Oh.
Don't be suspicious. Okay. So Will was furious, but before she could do any more seething, Beau announced that they were closed for the night.
Mm-hmm.
The patrons, Callie included, left, and Will began to clean and shut down. Beau helped her take out the trash, and before she went back in, he stopped her. to say he liked hanging out with her the night before. She said, thanks, me too. And then he stopped her before she pushed past and kissed her.
Oh.
Our first kiss.
Whoa.
She didn't want to stop it, but she did. And okay. pushed past him.
That's fair.
He didn't stop her. Of course.
Yeah.
She goes through with cleaning, but she's not mentally there. She's still surprised by what just happened.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, okay, the guy that you've been, like, pining after for a really long time decides to make the first move, and you're just like, you're static in your head?
that's a fair description.
I feel like I've done that all of once with a guy that I was really into.
Me, right? Please?
I was like 13. We didn't know each other then.
Okay, fine.
but no, you hear that static in your head where you're just like, and psh, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
So she drives home, you know, she's surprised as fuck, and it's time to go home. She's still in her head as she drives. While she's at a stoplight, Bo pulls up next to her, and he asks her to roll down her window, immediately apologizing, asking her to follow him, begging. She does, and follows him to a condemned elementary school that had previously burned down.
Sexy. Sex appeal through the roof.
Her warning flags are thankfully going off. And she doesn't have a weapon, only a jar of peanut butter.
Yo, that could be a weapon. Do we know if he has a peanut allergy?
Weaponized peanut butter.
Yeah.
But she uses her keys as a weapon just in case.
Okay.
And gets up, telling him this is fucking creepy. But he apologized and explained that he was a student there before it burned down, and it was the only place he could think of to go at this time of night, past 1 a.m., mind you. He laughed at the sight of her key weapon hand. she did the thing where she put it between her fingers and stuff like that.
The thing you do, yeah.
Yeah, which is not good for you.
No, that is not a great idea at all.
I don't like that idea. Anyway. And said that she came prepared. So,
I'm ready to yuck you up, my guy.
So she explained he was the one that took her to an abandoned school. He understood and apologized again about kissing her like that without asking. She asked why. Why did he do it? He said he couldn't help it. He wanted to do it so bad and he didn't know when else to do it, but it was wrong of him to not ask her first.
Yeah, correct.
She was taken aback. Mostly because he was talking so much, but then she said it was okay. Strong and silent type talking a lot would also be pretty shocking to
that
me
is
too.
Disorienting. What?
I've never heard your voice speak this much.
You know more than three words? What is happening?
Anyway, so he asked for clarification. If it was okay that she liked it, or if he should never do it again. She didn't say for the affirmative or negative? Neither, really. It said it was okay.
Alright.
He noticed that a storm was starting and asked her to get in the truck. She agreed. And, okay.
They always kill you at the second spot.
They always kill you at the second location. This is not that kind of book.
Oh, okay.
No, it's like a teen cutesy romance thing.
That's when murders happen.
Jesus. That's the next book. So she agreed, and then he asked on a scale of 1 to 10, how good was it? They kind of flirted, and she got confident, and she said he could try again, best out of 2.
Ooh.
And he obliged.
Sassy.
They kissed for a while, and it wasn't until he touched her back that her mind took over. She shrank back and became extremely self-conscious about her size.
Ooh.
He apologized, and he said he shouldn't be dating anyone at this time. That he's got a lot going on. So she just said, okay, and left his truck. He said he'd see her at work. But then he left. She knew in that moment that she would back way off. Because it would be what she would tell anyone else. Then she went home.
Oh. Poor thing.
I know!
Like, that's actually...
Yeah, like, okay, to be fair, you can see... I am on the slightly thicker side of women, but not to the point that they portrayed her, like, even in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But to be so self-conscious and in your head that you don't feel comfortable someone even touching your lower back is really hard to deal with. And then him being like, oh yeah, I shouldn't be dating anyone anyway.
Yeah,
that's so much harder. It's like, yeah, you could just punch me in the jaw, like right here, real quick.
Just not take a cinder block right to the temple, please.
So much better.
Yeah. I would have preferred you murdered me.
So the next day, Will was at Elle's house. It was too hot to swim, and they were watching TV together. Then Will got really in her head about what had happened the night before. Her mom threatened that she would call her work the next time she gets back super late.
Oh.
Oops. Mind you, Will's a sophomore in high school, so probably like 16.
Mm-hmm.
She really shouldn't be out till 1 a.m.
No. You know, kids, they do stupid things.
They do stupid things. Will, deep in thought, pondered about how she would go about handling this. Mostly because now she doesn't know if Bo used her as his low point, and he would be her highest.
Oh.
She didn't think it fair. But the program ended, and Will said that she wanted to get back home so she could go through Lucy's stuff before her mom threw it all away.
Mm-hmm.
When Elle requested that the bee brooch that Lucy used to wear when she picked the girls up, before she was at her biggest, Will agreed. So she had this cute little bee brooch. That was, like, her signature.
Like a honeybee.
Yeah.
Okay. When you first said that, I thought it was the letter B.
Even though she's Lucy?
Yes.
But, yeah, Elle wanted that bee brooch.
Yeah, of course.
Will agreed, mostly because she knew in that moment Lucy wasn't only hers to memorialize.
Mm-hmm.
That it was almost a painful relief.
Yeah.
On Monday, before she went to work, Will heads out to get a prescription for her mom. She parks in front of the jewelry store, who prides themselves on making the pageant crown.
Oh.
The owner came out and offered her to see the crowns, which Will, knowing that these were more guarded than the money at the bank, guaranteed. Agreed. She saw the three.
Yep.
The original and the two copies.
Okay.
And she asked to try the original crown. And the owner agreed. She asked why. She said yes, and the owner said, because sometimes you don't need to win a pageant to wear a crown.
Ooh. Ooh, what a statement.
Isn't that cute?
What a statement.
Work begins, and it's mainly Bo and her, and she ignores him throughout the day despite needing to work together.
Yep.
When the shift is over, she tries to run, but he catches up with her.
No!
And despite her trying to get away from him to restrain herself, they kiss again. It's like, y'all need to, like, process a little bit better.
Girl, you're gonna get murdered.
You're gonna get murdered by this hot man.
Or a hot man, you know.
So 2 whole months go by, and they continue to progress with their little makeup sessions. It seems that she can't let go of the fact that she's insecure about her size, though.
Mm-hmm.
Every time he grabs her waist or stomach, she reacts in fear. Mostly because it's ingrained in her.
Yeah.
Anyways, at the end of this specific day, he asked her to follow him in her car, which she does.
Hmm.
When they meet again, he wishes her a happy birthday, despite never asking when it was.
Did he get it right? Yeah. Oh, whoa!
He gives her a gift of a magic 8-ball, a slinky, silly putty poppers, and a bag of saltwater taffy.
What a bro.
I know. She nearly forgets the last thing in the bag. A pair of heart-shaped sunglasses.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Then they kiss, and he mentions that she should go home. She agrees, and they do. She gets home, finds her mom is asleep. She had been telling her lies as to why she's been late forever.
Yeah.
When she gets text from Elle.
Okay.
Which, Elle's full name is Ellen.
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 Don't know why that was the voice.
She called her a liar for not going to Tim's party. Elle told her that she missed some drama. And Will told her to catch her up in the morning. And she got a text from Bo. Night is all he said.
Nice.
One fucking word. It ruins you. Oh God, I'm overdramatic, aren't I?
No, not at all.
Hey, I'm a little bit of a romantic, even though I like my death.
Sure.
So Ellen comes over. I don't know why I changed it to Ellen at one point. Anyway.
Ellen. Oh, in the notes you changed it.
Yeah. And Will lets her in. Ella's insisting that they go get her check, and she insists that Will drive. Will agrees, and they go to Sweet 16, the place that Elle works, which Will hates. Mm-hmm. Because they never go over a size 12, and the people there are skinny and vapid. She despises it.
Vapid. What a mm-hmm. fucking description.
Right? The girls even say, Elle is nice to be friends with her, even though she follows her like a puppy.
Hmm.
It upset her enough to leave the store.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would, too.
Yeah, no, yeah.
When yeah, she goes, no, yeah. Oh, yeah, no, yeah. When she goes back out into the mall, Bo calls out to her. She sits down next to him and he told her that he was out with his stepmom and brother. His stepmom and brother came out, and she looked at Will not nicely.
Mm.
When Elle came back out, his stepmom regarded her kindly, like she's the cutest thing ever. Which made Will jealous. Even if Elle had Tim. Anyways, they find out Bo is going to their school next year, and Lorraine, his stepmom, is happy he has friends. Bo cuts the conversation short and then... Will is so fucking angry.
Yeah.
It doesn't get better that Elle is telling her that Bo is hotter than she explained. She knew then and there that she couldn't be a secret anymore, that she had to end this.
Mm-hmm.
When she gets back home, her mother is insistent that they watch TV together, specifically a transformation show about a fat girl who's about to lose weight called Transform Me, I Hate My Fat Body. Which, that, like, come on.
That also could just be a real show.
I know, but, like, come on.
Yeah.
Add fucking insult to injury in the moment.
Yeah.
But according to Will, this wasn't new for her.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
She was on more fad diets than she should have been. Mm. It was always a sore spot for her mom and Lucy. Lucy always defended Will for being a child, which she shouldn't have, like, she shouldn't have been on fad diets. Her mom apparently used to be overweight as well, and then she shed her baby fat before high school, and blah, blah, blah. You know, it was bullshit. Anyways, they watch the show, and at the end, Will excuses herself to go to bed. I'll text her after when she's done with the shift, asking if she should come over, but no. Will didn't want her over. Said she lies about the reason why, and the night ends.
Fair enough.
The next day, work commences, and Will is going to ignore Bo the entire day. Until he corners her into talking to him.
And then they make out. No, I'm sorry.
Basically, it goes nowhere. Because she doesn't want to talk to him. Especially since he never told her about going to their school and introduced her as being a coworker.
Yeah.
So at the end of the shift, she told him she was done being his secret. And making out behind the dumpster. That she's done. It's over.
That's fair. No, that is a strong stance. And I like...
Honestly, yeah.
Yeah, no,
like,
that's a good one.
Like, if you're going to date someone, be proud of them.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
He's proud of me.
Yes.
He made a really stupid smile. You guys can't see him. So the next day, she already did that. Sorry, school begins.
Mm-hmm.
And Elle and Will are late for class, forcing them to sit apart from one another because Elle was late. She ended up sitting next to a linebacker in the back of class who, at the end of school, ended up asking her out because she's cute. And she said yes.
Oh. Wait, ask Will out?
Ask Will out.
Just
this guy just asked her out.
Like, hey, you want to go on a date?
Yeah. And she was like, why? And he's like, because you're cute.
Fuck yeah.
I know.
Big up, linebacker.
I know. So Elle gave her some crap and reminded her that he's friends with Patrick Thomas, which I guess she didn't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Elle apologized for them not sitting together because she was late, and Will was like, at least you have Callie.
Oh.
Yeah. Which Tim fully believes is the most annoying girl ever. Elle told them to back off her shit, they're just friends. Anyway, the night comes.
Yeah.
And Mitch calls Will, that's his name, Mitch, calls Will about their date. They agree on Saturday, and it seems Bo had been staring at her the whole time.
Oh.
Anyways, the shift ends, and Will notice a now hiring sign at the Chili Bowl across the street, which later on she applies to. Oh. It was all Bo's fault, though.
Okay.
Because he transferred her... he transferred into her fifth period class.
Mm.
So, she couldn't see him.
Yeah.
And she went to get a job at the Chili Bowl, despite hating chili. That night, she got the job and quit her job at Harpy's. A lot of things happened between them. Elle teases Will about her date and how she didn't know that she was interested in Mitch at all because she's never even kissed anyone before. Will keeps her lips shut.
Yeah, as she should in that moment.
And that's where we're going to pause.
Whoa!
I know, so... a lot of teen drama.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It's a lot of teen shit. I promise that it gets better in the second half. The first is always, like, a lot of buildup.
Yeah.
Which is totally fine. But that's where I'm going to pause. Speaking of pause, you just pawed at me. hi, baby. You're being so needy again. so far, what do you think?
It's cute.
It's cutesy.
Yeah, but there's also just that, like, oh, God, this poor girl.
Mm-hmm.
This poor girl.
Fucking getting mocked for her goddamn size and being held as a secret. And
yeah, that's not a fan.
No, not at all. Anyway. All right, guys. Break?
Yeah, break.
Well, that was a nice break.
Yeah.
I needed drinks.
Yes. And the dog needed to adjust now. He's on the bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Squishing one of my favorite squish pillows.
Yeah. This is a good time.
Yes.
All right. Before we move on to my section...
I have to sneeze. Good.
Now we're going to move on to my section. Okay. Let's see. Games I've been playing that I don't plan on reporting on. FIFA. Well, not FIFA anymore. It's EAFC.
Yeah, EAFC would be really hard to report on, honestly.
Yeah, it's...
It's a lot of team building.
It's a soccer game, or football, depending on...
I mean, we love watching soccer
and
hockey. Any sports game would be really hard to report on in general because it's like, oh yeah, you can just build a team and play the game.
Yeah, so I do have my ultimate team that I build, which is a feature that has been in the game since, like, I think 2014, but I could be wrong on that. It was in the 2010s.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I do that, but I'm having a lot of fun in player career.
That's right.
I made myself. I am a part of the Shamrock Rovers. It is an Irish team.
Just for everybody's knowledge, he punched down at the ground in that exact timing.
Yeah.
Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah. Fucking great. One thing that annoys me is people get pissed when other people play games on easy mode. I like playing on easy mode.
It's so much better.
I like seeing that my name pops up and it's like he's beaten the scoring record of the league. And I'm like, and I'm only halfway through the season. Let's fucking go. So, yeah,
seriously.
Yeah. I don't know. I have fun. That's all it is. I have fun, damn it. But yeah. So I'm playing a lot of EAFC. I've started a few other projects that I will probably record on, so...
That sounds fun.
Yeah. Ooh! One thing I can finally say I did.
Yes.
I beat Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, thanks fuck.
That was one of the first games I reported on.
Literally the first game you
reported. Nope, second.
Second?
Yeah.
This is one.
Second?
I said second and put up a one. Second.
Yeah.
I forgot about that it was second. So, Civilization?
Yes.
Six was the first?
Nope. Civilization Revolution.
Ah.
Yeah.
Civrev.
Yep.
Civrev.
But, so it's been years.
Oh, God, yeah, it has.
And,
been like four.
Yeah, and I was like, yeah, I should probably just beat it.
And then, I'm glad we did.
Yeah, it's a great game. One of the best I've ever played.
Honestly, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was so much fun to watch.
I don't know what ranking I gave the game back in the day, but I give it a 10 out of 10. Like,
you gave it a really high ranking from what I remember.
So if I didn't give it a 10, I adjust that score to a 10.
Yeah, it was practically perfect in every way.
Yeah. And
Mary Poppins.
And of course, I am playing the new one. So you'll hear about that.
Yeah, Tears of the Kingdom.
It's a lot of fun.
It is actually.
All right. So, shall we move on to my game?
Hold on, let me give you a word of the day. Okay. I'm totally kidding. Okay.
I was like, I'm ready.
Puppy.
Puppy? That's the type of dog. But,
I'm totally fucking around.
So, with, speaking of Civilization, we started the podcast on a strategy game.
Yeah.
Gonna restart the podcast on a strategy game.
No shit.
Yes. So, the game I played, XCOM 2.
I didn't even know that was a strategy game.
Yeah.
I thought, is that the one with the alien on the front?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know why I thought it was just an alien hunting game.
That's fair. It is actually far from that.
I don't believe it.
So, the reason I'm not doing the first one is, while it does set a good base, I didn't find it as fun to play. And that's kind of what I want to do with this podcast, is play games that are fun.
Yes. No, that's entirely true.
So, yeah, I did XCOM 2, which, quite fun.
Okay.
This game was released February 5th, 2016.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, Jesus Christ, we're coming up on 20 years of... No. Great. Don't like that.
Okay.
10 years. It'll be 10 years.
Yep. And the developer is Fair Access Games.
Okay.
They work on the XCOM games and a few others. I can't quite remember what games they've worked on at this moment, but... Whatever. And the publisher is 2K, which is usually sports.
Yeah.
The major one, WWE, most recently.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it would... Wait. Does NBA do 2K?
Yep. NBA, okay. 2K, yep.
Okay, so NBA and WWE primarily are 2K.
Yeah, those are two big ones that you'll see 2K on. The systems that this came out on were Linux, which, fucking weird.
That is weird.
OS X, I'm sorry.
So, operating system 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, iPhone?
I don't know.
I feel like that's like Apple.
Yeah, oh, that might be Mac.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Windows.
Okay.
PS4.
Awesome.
Xbox One.
Makes sense.
The Switch.
Makes a little less sense, but makes sense still.
iOS and Android. So pretty much everything that was available.
OS is specifically Mac computers. iOS is going to be the iPhone.
Yeah. So, like I just said, pretty much everything that...
So you play this on fucking everything.
You could, yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people like playing Linux. They're like, oh, it's the superior one. I'm like, it takes forever to load shit on there, so...
My face twisted because we used to use Audacity in Linux, and it was a pain in the ass to save anything from there.
Yep. So,
when you have an external hard drive that saves in Linux only, it's such a pain in the ass.
I will say this game is backwards compatible on the newer systems.
That's good.
I played this most recently on PS5.
Which I'm sure was nice enough.
Yes. And they often go on sale.
Mm-hmm.
I had the whole game plus all of the DLC for $15 at the time. So so I was like, let's go. So yeah. The genre is specifically turn-based tactics and tactical RPG.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. So it's a tactical strategy game is what it's kind of Tactical Rurupaga.
Rurupaga.
Rurupaga. But the synopsis, and this comes from the XCOM website itself, which is still up and running. You can buy the game on there even. So,
of course.
Yeah. So, Earth has changed. 20 years have passed since world leaders offered an unconditional surrender to alien forces, and XCOM, the planet's last line of defense, was left decimated and scattered. Now the aliens rule Earth, building shining cities that promise a brilliant future for humanity on the surface. While concealing a sinister agenda below and eliminating all who dissent from their new order.
Dark roots love it.
Yep. Only those who live at the edges of the world have a margin of freedom. Here, a force gathers once again to stand up for humanity. Always on the run, the remnant XCOM forces must find a way to rise from the ashes, expose the insidious truth behind the occupation, and eliminate the alien threat once and for all.
Okay, makes sense.
So, there are some, I would say, unique features to this game.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, one that I like is the mechanics. And the mechanics specifically aren't unique to this game, but these games are the ones that revolutionized this type of turn-based combat. Combat. So, it's literally turn-based.
Okay.
So, it selects your character, you tell them where to move.
Okay.
Or to attack.
And you
get,
you want to do.
Yeah, you get two actions, and that could be move within, like, the selected area, or dash to the next area.
Okay.
You can move, attack, you can just attack and do, like, something special.
Yeah.
And then it moves to the next character, so it's character by character.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that kind of sounds like when I played the Adventure Time, like the Pirates of Enchiridion.
Kind of. That's more Final Fantasy style.
Fair.
This, you would have seen it on the Mario and Rabbids game.
Oh, okay.
Where you select them and then you kind of get a cursor to move to a wall.
That makes sense.
Yep.
Because I didn't really play the Rabbids. We don't have the Rabbids game.
Exactly.
I can't play it. But
you've seen the trailer gameplay. Yeah.
It makes sense.
Exactly.
Definitely not my style. Mm-hmm. I liked the Pirates of Enchiridion because the only time you really did a turn-based thing was in combat. But that makes sense.
Yeah. So, this is, definitely one of those more. It kind of feels like you're playing more of a board game.
Versus, like, a video game.
Yeah. So, if you...
Board game, video game.
Yeah.
People have
video
fun with it.
Board game.
Yeah, I said that backwards.
Yeah. It's a board video game. It's so boring.
It's so boring.
Yeah.
But people play fucking Monopoly, so whatever.
Exactly. And Uno.
Yeah, that one's weird without being able to slap your person next to you.
Yeah. Exactly. But this one, you go character by character, and you can do, like I said, the attacks and all that. You can use your special attacks, which I'll get into that later, character specific, like their own roles.
Yeah.
Something else you can do is you can have them go on what is called Overwatch, which you just click that button, and they will wait in their spot, and as soon as they see enemy movement, that's when they'll attack.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's actually kind of nice. Just point and click. Do this.
Yeah. Fucking go for it. And of course,
I want to do it.
The downside to that is if an enemy's in a building and they run past a window, then the guy goes, huh? And then shoots as the guy's past the window already. So it's like, fuck. So you wasted that. But
a little late there, bud.
Yeah. But another thing with attacking is it usually just targets the one that you have the best chance of hitting, and it actually gives you a percentage.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, 0 to 100. So, like, you can be up against a half wall,
mm-hmm.
and there can be a alien trooper vibing behind a table, and you sit there, and it's like, oh, 63%, because he's in cover.
Oh, thank God.
And it's like, do you try? Because there's a chance you miss.
Yeah.
I've heard of people having it
40-something percent or 30-something percent chance you miss. It's still something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had friends who have gone, had 99%. It was like the barrel was right here, still missed the guy.
What? Yeah.
So.
You had a 1% chance of missing and you still did it.
Yep. So, it's.
That recoil, man.
Yeah. Bang! But, so it is a game of pure strategy.
Okay.
Because you have to be like, do I want to risk possibly missing and then getting shot in the face?
Or not.
Or do I just set up and get ready to go, you know?
Yeah.
Or do I do the guaranteed use my grenade launcher sort of thing?
I mean, that's pretty guaranteed.
Yep.
Especially in real life.
Oh, yeah. There are various effects that also go onto each character.
Okay.
Which I believe is very unique to this game. One is panic. Panic. So, one that happens is your characters can die in this game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, if you have two people up against a wall next to each other, homeboy gets shot in the head.
Yeah.
there's a chance, a pretty big chance, that the guy that was sitting next to him will start losing his mind. He'll just, oh God! And then just fire.
Oh, wow.
Blindly.
So they just, like, brought in the fact that mentality actually is a portion of fighting.
Yep.
I kind of like that,
though. Yeah, so, yeah, it can get intense because...
Yeah, not everybody's going to be totally fine with their best friend's head getting blown off next to them.
Right next to them, yeah.
Yeah.
Usually, from what I've experienced, it is while the character is right next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, within a general, like, 5-foot area.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they have eyesight, that's bad.
Yeah, I'd imagine so.
But, yeah, so that's one thing you have to be cautious of. Mm-hmm. Players can go unconscious if they get hit real hard, but they don't die.
Just like Willa Dane, just punch me right here.
Yeah.
Cinder block, it's fine.
Bam! Yep. They can also get disoriented.
Mm-hmm.
So say there's like something disrupting their vision, they're like, what the fuck's going on?
Okay.
Dizzy and all that shit.
Yeah.
So they're like
accurate. So it's like D&D.
Exactly.
With aliens.
Yep. Yeah. That's
cool.
Yeah. And there's also mind control.
Oh.
There are certain enemies, in my time playing, I only know of one, but I'm sure there's more, that can mind control your characters.
All right.
Which fucking sucks. Because I had two, they were up against a window of, like, this church, right?
Yeah.
They were just sitting there. And then this one, I think it's called a Syek or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
They've got weird names. It goes, oh, fucking charges up a blast. Purple beam goes into one of my characters, and all of a sudden she's mind controlled.
Ah, damn it.
I couldn't use her anymore.
Of course, because she's mind controlled.
Yeah, and I was just like...
If I try to use her, she might turn around and do something else.
Crazy. Yeah. So, with that, you have the option. Do I just kill the one that's mind controlled, or do I, if I have the chance, can I kill the one that's doing the mind control?
That's a very good question.
Because if you kill the one that's doing the mind control, they snap out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Naturally. Because it's no different than, like, hey, I'm holding the power of X, Y, and Z. You kill them. Oh, no, you're not.
Yeah. So, oh, okay. Yeah. And that specific moment was so scary for me because they were right next to each other. And all of a sudden the person was like, that got mind controlled, went, I'm going to shoot at you.
Oh, no.
And just took a shot, missed entirely. And I'm like, oh my God, they were so close to each other.
I feel like it's a 50-50.
Yeah, it was so bad. And another one that is... Another one that's fully unique is losing characters. So, I said characters can die.
Yeah.
The thing is, if they die, permadeath.
Oh.
You can just lose characters.
There's no respawning.
No.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so they really took the like, real-life situation...
Yes.
To heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I'm not mad about that.
Yeah.
I kind of like it.
I mean, I believe there is an option when you start a new game to take off permadeath.
Okay.
If you want. Which...
and it's fun.
Yeah. And then they come back like...
Wow, we made that sound so terrible.
I believe they come back extremely injured.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but... yeah. If it... It makes you, if you have that option on, I again, play on the easiest difficulty.
Yeah, do whatever you want.
Every single mission that I've gone on, mm-hmm. I've lost at least one character. It's usually at most one character.
Yeah.
But it's always stupid. Somebody's just like, hey, what's up? Bang. You're like...
What?
It's like, what the fuck? I had one where I was just running along.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, there's no enemies here because we weren't in a fight. So I just run along a path. And I'm like, I'm going to take cover right here. And all of a sudden, it's like, there's an alien just staring right at my guy. And I'm like, oh, fuck. And then it was their turn.
Run away.
Yeah, so I was up against a half wall, but there was a guy direct line.
He was already looking at you.
Yeah. So
it's too late.
It was like, oh, there's his fight.
Damn.
I was like, fuck, okay, there goes that guy. So, but when they die... There is a part of the ship, kind of the main base, that it has a memory hall. So you get their picture on the wall.
Okay.
And you just, like, It's like, oh yeah, this person died. This is how many kills they had.
This is in memoriam.
Exactly.
Stats.
Yep. And you can write an epitaph.
He was my best friend.
No, I usually write something like, oh, decided to stand on top of a bus. Did not... wasn't able to hit shit. Was one of them.
Because he wasn't able to hit shit, so...
I had an 85% chance of hitting, and he just... around the guy, and I'm like... Just aim at his fucking head.
Did you create, like, a goddamn, like... what is it called? Outline?
Oh,
bullets.
Pretty much. Pretty much. If there was a wall behind him, yes. He was behind a fucking table that at a diner.
Mm-hmm.
Like, outside restaurant seating. The alien was just hiding the... And he was taller than the thing.
What the fuck?
But he was in cover, so... Yeah.
He was in cover. Bullshit.
Yeah. So,
sorry.
Those are some of the unique features of this game that I particularly enjoy.
I'm such a dick when it comes to that shit. He's in cover. Shut up.
Yeah, just fuck up. Kill him.
You could have done this.
The game is on easy mode. Give me something. But, let's see. So there are, of course, some funny moments that have happened to me, friends that have played this game. Somebody who is no longer a friend of mine talked about in the first game this happened.
Yeah.
One of his guys, they were going up to one of the buildings for the mission.
Yes.
Guy hops through the window while his buddy is chilling outside still.
Okay.
And it was one of those big, like, glass windows. Like, for a restaurant, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, jumps through the window. There was one of the enemy aliens on Overwatch. So he shoots him back through the window. The guy that was sitting there lost his fucking mind.
In. No, you're not.
Get the hell out of here. Bang. So.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's not fun.
No.
It's like, that character was fucking great. But, let's see. Another funny moment, and this is personal for me, you can create characters.
Yes.
How many ever you want. Of course, I have one that was created, right? And you don't get to really select when they come into your group, like your team.
Yeah.
Until like second or third real mission that you do. That's when you start recruiting people.
Okay.
So it just kind of auto-generates some people. It auto-generated the character that I made.
Okay.
And I was like, fuck yeah, let's go.
Sure, whatever works.
Yep. First fucking mission I go on, my guy dies.
That's so disappointing.
Yeah, I was like, are you fucking...
That's really so disappointing.
I was like, why? And I was doing good. I was like in cover. I was behind everybody. A guy decided to flank.
You were doing so well.
Yeah. And so I've got the one character you start with.
Mm-hmm.
She's injured as fuck. I have a character for you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool.
She's got a voodoo hat. It's pretty cool.
I like that.
Yeah. I have one for Harley. He hasn't showed up yet.
Oh, okay.
And I have one for Leah. And she has shown up. She's also injured, but she's still alive, so...
Well, as long as she's alive.
Yeah. She's got a grenade launcher.
Dig.
Yeah. So, something that I find really cool about the game is... As you play with the characters going on missions and everything,
yeah,
they rank up, get promoted.
Good.
Makes sense, right?
Yeah.
The one thing that I kind of don't like about that is you can't fully decide on which... I'm sure there's a way to be like, oh, this is what makes them fall into this role.
Yeah.
I haven't figured that out yet. So when I'm just playing, the first character, oh, that's a scout. She runs up. Is able to scout further than other people.
Yeah.
She can see into the fog of war better. Leah got the fucking heavy weapons expert.
Sweet.
Out of fucking nowhere.
So
she got a minigun and a grenade launcher.
Oh, that's so cool.
And I'm like, fucking, what did I do that got her that?
One, how the fuck?
Yeah.
Two, awesome.
Yeah. So she, usually I put her behind like a half wall. And then have her shoot at stuff, and she just fucking... Because it's a minigun.
Yeah.
You, I think it also made you a scout.
Me a scout?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But one of the random guys that was generated, he became, like, a side trooper or something like that. He gets a little robot.
Okay.
That kind of floats around and heals people.
Sounds adorable.
Yeah, he just, you know, yeah. just does
he's
one
a
of those things.
Dude.
Yeah, he's just vibing, you know? So, the things I like about this game. I love the look of this game.
Yeah, I'd imagine so.
It's even 2016, today's standards, you know how games are like, crazy.
Fucking realistic.
Yeah, this is still not bad. It's okay. A little cartoony, but it's not in a bad way.
It's not like 8-bit in a new setting.
Yeah, or like very... It's not Borderlands cartoony.
Okay.
Whatever that art style is called. But...
Sorry, I can hear our dog's nose whistling as he sleeps. I'm just like, what the fuck is that sound?
But it's got that cartoony style and also just the general atmosphere. Mm-hmm. It's a dystopian future.
Oh.
Because the aliens have taken over.
I mean, yeah, because it's like, it's as if we kind of like rolled on our backs and showed our bellies, really.
Yeah.
You're just like, never mind, you're more powerful than I am.
And
I'm good.
You have missions where you go into the cities. It's like, oh, the cities look so amazing, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's so pretty. And then, like, as soon as the aliens start showing up, things are on fire. Like, or you go out into the wilderness and, like, in the first area, it's very snowy.
Yeah.
So, you're actually in a tundra, essentially. There's a bunch of trees that don't have any leaves on them, a bunch of big snow banks.
Yeah.
Cars stuck in the snow, like, it is.
Yeah.
It is like, oh, this looks cold. Like.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, that would be fucking freezing.
Yeah. I also do enjoy the flow of each mode or game, I guess. Every time you get into a mission, it's just very... It flows nicely.
Got it.
You get the character, you move them, you go to the next character, tell them all what to do. Enemies turn, they move as one.
Okay.
Just, you know, kind of spread out.
Yeah.
So it's as if, like, it's just happening like that. But you can imagine... What you see is what the computer's generating for those guys to move.
That's still pretty cool.
Yeah. So, I do enjoy that. And also, the character customization is so fucking in-depth.
Yeah.
You get to choose name, nationality, voice, like...
All the way down to the finest detail.
Yeah. So, like...
I want this one wisp of hair just to, like...
Pretty much. You, of course, have the options of hairs. But, yeah, it's so crazy in depth because there's, like, I want to say at least 4 voices per, like, nationality.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of times where it's just like, oh, me, I'm American, but for some reason if I want to give my guy a French voice, I can do that.
Yeah.
For you, I have you, American.
Yes.
But... Spanish speaking.
I mean, yeah.
The problem is that I have with
si
that
puede.
Is the Spanish that they chose is Spain.
Oh.
So sometimes your character says vamos, and I'm just like, ah, that's not right.
Nope. I may have Spanish descent, but I'm Mexican, dude.
But hearing your character yell in Spanish is
vamos!
Kind of fun. Yeah.
Andale! ¿Que la chingada dónde va?
Pretty much. It's fucking awesome.
Where the fuck you going?
And the best part is you can even change the armor up, how it looks.
Yeah.
You can change the pattern on your armor, how the arms of it look, the pants.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And you can get, like, different colors on it. Like, my guy, before he got fucking smoked, he had, like, this hexagon camo pattern.
Yeah.
That was, like, gold.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Pretty.
And you can mix and match. You can add nicknames to your characters, even. So mine was Hollywood.
Sure.
He had a mohawk and aviators.
You would.
And he was just, like, cocky as fuck. So, of course, he fucking died immediately.
Again, you would.
Yeah. You're very like serious black armor. I think it's like streaks of armor.
Accurate.
Yeah.
That's pretty fucking accurate.
Yep. Harley's in there as well.
Ooh.
He is Cinderblock.
I want to smack my head on this table, but I know it'll mess it up.
But yeah, he's very, very, you know.
He's Harley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A big lad. But yeah, you know me, I love creating characters.
I do know that.
This is one of the more in-depth character creators that I've seen. Mm-hmm. I have yet to play Baldur's Gate 3, and I know that one's in-depth.
We don't own it. Don't come after us.
Yeah. So, this is one of those that it's like, oh, shit, there's a lot you can do.
Yeah.
And there's some DLCs for the game.
I think you've shown me the creations.
Yes.
Yeah.
I had to delete one recently because it was a former friend. But
not a friend anymore.
But yeah, so the there's some DLCs that have come out for this game, and one's like a whole nother mission pack. Like you get a whole nother campaign, but there's a lot of cosmetic packs as well, which just adds to shit you can do.
That is awesome.
Which is how my mohawk with the bandana came to be.
You did have a mohawk at one point.
I did, which is when I first created that character.
Also tracks.
Yep. So, some of my dislikes for the game.
Yes.
To me, it felt like it can get a little repetitive.
Yeah.
Just a increase in difficulty in different enemies.
I feel like that's pretty normal with any turn-based game, though.
Yeah. And unfortunately, it's one of those where it's like, you spawn and it's like, eliminate the enemies. Extract. Or go in here. Get to this thing before it explodes. Extract.
I'm not gonna lie, I had a book like that recently where it's just like, it feels like more of the same.
Yeah.
And it's kind of annoying.
Usually it's, you drop in, you have to do the one thing, and then you have to extract before you're fucking killed.
Yeah, fair enough.
Like, one that I enjoyed was getting a VIP.
Okay.
You get the VIP, so he was locked in a big truck, right? Mm-hmm. You had to get your people around there, unlock the back, get him out, and then go to a specific point to extract.
Huh.
And enemies just kept coming.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So it was like, oh, shit.
That feels like a lot.
Yeah, it was. It was very intense.
This is a lot, guys. I'm gonna go home.
Yeah. But a lot of the enemies are really cool.
That's good to hear.
Yeah. You generally have, like, the basic, they look like humans,
yeah,
in armor and fancy armor, but like they show that they're like a hybrid, and they're just the cannon fodder. They have guns, they get shot, they're dead, right?
Yeah.
But then there's the ones that are just tall, lanky, pink things that run around and mind control people.
Yikes.
And then there's ones that are like, I think they're called doppelgangers, and they're like wearing suits. At first, it's fucking creepy.
Kind of like the silence behind you?
Yes.
Oh, fair.
Yeah, and like little glasses.
Yeah, he doesn't have glasses. His face looks weird.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's one of those that it's like, I don't like him.
No, thank you.
And I haven't played far enough to know what he does, and I don't want to.
I don't blame you.
Yeah. So, another thing that I don't like is this is not the most user-friendly game. It's got a major learning curve.
I believe it.
A lot of people say, the early game is like playing at a casino. It's just luck. And it's like, no, you have to learn the fucking strategy of the game. Damn. And, yeah, and that's the problem, is the strategy, it puts you into it. Sure, it gives you a little tutorial mission.
Yeah, but a little tutorial when it's a crazy strategy is not helpful.
It's like, this is how you put characters here. Be careful if enemies flank you. It's like, but you can't decide if they flank you or not.
Yeah, no, it just happens.
Yeah, so it's one of those things that it takes a lot of thought and, you know, analyzing to go, this is where I need to move these characters so they don't fucking die.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and also, it seems super overwhelming at first, like, because you go in and it goes, we have a mission here, but make sure you check out the research bay to build this, to start researching this, and make sure you recruit people. But as you continue to play it, that kind of gets, make sure I'm checking the research bay to research new stuff to help
Sounds
me.
Sounds like a new job.
Yeah.
that just throws you into the weeds.
Yeah, it very much is. Like, yeah, they tell you, oh, make sure you, like, go here at the start. It's like,
why haven't you checked X, Y, and Z? Because I didn't know it existed.
Yeah, oh, my bad.
What the fuck are you talking to me
make
about?
Make sure you build this part of the ship, and it's like, fucking, I can do that? It's, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. But it's, once you get into it, it's one of those games that it's like, oh, you just need to kind of get into it.
Yeah, keep going.
Yeah. So, overall, this is one of the better turn-based strategy games out there that I've played.
Yeah.
Especially like this.
Mm-hmm.
Its unique design and decent flow of the game makes it somewhat easy to start, but difficult to get really good at.
Got it.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I'm playing this first, you know, mission. Well, yeah, I understand it, but then you have to work at, how can I make it through a mission without anybody dying?
Yeah, that's a good question.
And then how can I make it through a mission without people getting seriously injured? Like, it's, you have to keep growing off of that. Yeah. So, if you like learning, which I do,
mm-hmm.
it's one of those games that it's like, you're not just going in there pointing and clicking and going, shoot that, kill that, kill that. It's like, oh, I need to sit here, and now I can kill him.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. Let's see. Once you do get to a comfortable point, you can generally go into each mission with a general plan.
Mm-hmm.
You need to get to here before it explodes. And it's like, oh man, if it explodes, that's a mission, like, the mission's donezo, right?
Yes.
So, it's like, oh, now I have to get here before it explodes? Let's have half of the team go to the left, half of the team go up the middle, you know?
Yeah.
And then we can kind of see where the enemies are vibing at.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Let's see. I also like the option to make the game way more intense with how you can have it, if your character dies, they're done.
I mean, you gotta do what you gotta do.
But also make it so it's, like, super difficult. So it's like, oh, I'm coming through here. You don't even know that the other team sees you.
No, you're not.
Yeah, exactly. You can also make it extremely easy in that way where it's like, oh, they're not dead,
mm-hmm.
but they're no longer in the mission. Like, it's one of those. You can go, you can craft it to your liking.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to get started in these types of turn-based strategy, this might not be the one for you unless you kind of want to take the Dark Souls route of going super difficult and then start playing the other ones and be like, oh, there's a fucking cakewalk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or work your way up or kind of go half and half.
Whatever works.
Yeah. So I would personally give this game, I would say, 8 out of 10.
An 8 out of 10. Yeah. Okay.
It has hours of I looked it up how long it takes to beat. 70 plus hours. That's just doing the main story.
Jesus.
If you want to do everything else, that's over 100 hours of content.
That's way too many hours. But amazing.
But for like $15 that I got it for, it's not too bad.
It's a bang for your buck.
Yeah.
Bang.
So, this is, and in the story mode, I've also seen, you technically don't have to do the last mission if you don't want to until you're ready. So.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I haven't played the DLC yet. I will eventually, I'm sure. But
I'm sure you will.
Yeah. It just seems, yeah, I don't even want to say what it seems like because I have no clue. I think it's more like Militia style instead of like, we're XCOM. So it's like, we're dudes chilling here.
We're dudes chilling, being bros.
Yeah.
It's fine.
So yeah, that is XCOM 2.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Like I said earlier, definitely not my style of game.
Yeah.
You know that I'm a cozy gamer kind of person.
Yeah, this is not a cozy game.
This is not a cozy game.
No.
This feels stressful.
It can be.
I mean, even like a game like Medium was like, after a certain point, I'm like, I'm going to have a jump scare here and I'm not going to be able to finish this game,
yep.
even though I really want to. But no, that sounds like a lot of fun for somebody who prefers those kinds of styles. And
yeah. It's not my normal style of game, even if I'm going into strategy games.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't like my normal what I go into, but I can definitely see the appeal and why people still play it to this day.
Oh, absolutely.
And why they prefer this one to the first one. Like, it's, yeah.
If it's that much better, just go with that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they'll tell you what happened. Like, I haven't played the first one.
Mm-hmm.
After the first mission, they tell you what happened.
Got it.
So it's like, oh, sick.
Yeah, thanks for the update. I don't need anything else.
Yep. I'm going to go shoot some aliens now.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
All right. So, I guess thanks for joining us again, guys.
Yeah.
Holy shit. 2 years off.
We're back.
Year and a half off, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, almost a year and a half off.
Yeah. We're back.
We back.
Fully loaded.
Yeah, and ready to go. I don't have to stress out to read a book in 1 week anymore.
Yep. Yeah, oh god. Yep.
Oh gods. Anyway, so tell us what you think. We're still on Instagram. We still have a Facebook page, which you do have to, you know, agree to the rules to get a part of. It is a private group. We don't have X, Twitter, whatever the hell you want to call it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on there, but I just...
We're both personally on there.
I post about soccer.
And I post about nothing.
Yeah. I literally, it's like, oh, Arsenal did good today? Fuck yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. But you are more than welcome to follow both of us on there. I will attach our link tree with anything that we do have left. Mm-hmm. We still have merch out there because...
Somehow.
Yeah, I know. TeePublic is really nice about not deleting our things.
Yeah.
But yeah, everything is out there. Everything is ready to go. And we are so happy to be back.
Yeah.
A new era of turning those pages.
And mashing those buttons.
Goodbye, guys.
Bye.